This morning we continue in our series on Pages Writing a Better Story for Your Life in 2019, as we are still at the beginning part of 2019. Man, can you believe we're almost halfway through February already? I mean, you know, in about within 3 weeks, the year will be 1/6 over. I mean, time goes fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, those old folks were right. Now, I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about the people that were old when I was a little boy. Yeah, you know, because those old folks, they always said every year goes faster and faster.
Yes.
And you know what? The older I get, every year goes faster. In fact, I'm tired of those old folks being right about so many things. Every year they're right about something else. But this morning we continue in our series, and we finish our series about writing a better life. You know, almost everyone says that they want a better future than they've had a past. And so we've been looking at five elements of a better life, how to improve life, how to do things better, how to grow and become the people that God created us to be and enjoy the life that He's given us to live. And this morning we're finishing that. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 for our passage this morning. And today we're going to look at a lot of people's favorite subject, and that is rest. You say, well, preacher, you're not talking about the Sabbath, are you? Yes, we are. I know there's a lot of discussion about the Sabbath, and I put rest, an ending and a beginning, because at the end of a week, and we'll see it's part of the creation story, it's part of God's pattern for life and what God asks us to do, He does Himself. And we see that it's a part of God's creation, the way He has designed life to be. And that is that at the end of a cycle, at the end of work, that there needs to be a time of rest. And it's not just ending something. It is reflecting back and gives us time to celebrate. You know, it's no fun if you're just constantly working, but you're never enjoying what you work for. Amen? Some people are so busy working for a living that they miss out on living altogether. And it just becomes working, 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 working. You know, churches also can kind of get into that pattern in their church life, just always striving for more, always more, 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 constant. Got to keep going, never quit. You know, if we're not taking new ground, we're falling behind. And sometimes churches forget to rest and celebrate and just enjoy the blessings that God has given and what He has done. And it's a time for ending something and celebrating it, but it's also a time of preparing for something new. It's a time of recharging the batteries and getting ready for something new as well. So rest is the ending of one cycle, and it's the beginning of a new cycle. And one of the things we need to understand, of course, there's no doubt the Sabbath, the idea of resting, and by the way, the word Sabbath means rest. It's resting, and it's a command of God. It's part of His design for life. And something we need to understand is that our lives will change for the better if, one, we follow God's design for life. If we follow God's design for life. He created us, and He understands how He made us, and He understands how He intended life to be, how He designed us to function. And some of us fight against it, but you know what? The Word of God is undeniable. God created us to rest. Not just work, but rest. We'll mention work, and we've been talking about work for the last four Sundays, dealing with the first four steps of writing a better story for your life in 2019. But now as we draw to the end, it's time for rest. And our lives will be better, one, if we follow God's design for life. Number two, if we celebrate reaching goals. Again, if you never enjoy the fruits of your labor, if you never take time to celebrate, if you never take that time to rest and actually reflect back and see, you know what, I've made a little bit of progress. then you really miss out on a lot of life and the enjoyment of life if we're just constantly striving forward, constantly looking ahead, constantly driving ourselves and never slowing down. Man, so much of the enjoyment of life that God intends for us is just passed by and missed. You know, we've all heard stories from some people, and it's in the movies. It's in the movies Cars. I like the movies Cars. I mean, the sequels are okay too, but I really like the first movie, Cars. You know, and it's all about a little bitty town that's kind of been forgotten and is overlooked because an interstate came through, right? And that's a story of a lot of small towns in America. The interstate system is great. The interstate system is wonderful. And this is me. I'll admit, this is me when I'm traveling. All right, let's get started and let's get there. The goal is to get there, amen? Not to stop and smell the roses along the way. But you know, we just zip by and we just miss so much of the countryside. We miss so much of Americana. We miss so many sights and sounds of our country because we're on that highway. We're on that interstate just zipping along. And I understand, like I said, that's me when I'm traveling, what I prefer to do. But you know what? We miss out on a lot of things. And in our lives, if we never stop and we never slow down, we miss so much of the enjoyment that God intends for us to have in life because we got those blinders on and all we're doing is moving on down the highway. Some of y'all probably aren't rock and roll fans, but you know, who is it? BTO? You know, driving down that highway, right? Anyways, if you're not sure, come and I'll play the song for you later. I'm sure you'll love it. And your life will change for the better if you rest for the next level of life. If you rest up and prepare yourself and get ready for the next thing God has in store for you in life. You know, when it comes to the Sabbath, when it comes to a day of rest, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas. You know, there are some people, and Brother George, I heard you talking about this in Sunday school, so I'm right online with you. It may sound like we're saying different things, but we're right on the same page. But you know, some people observe the Sabbath simply because it's a day of requirement. Well, the law says I have to rest. And if you don't rest, you know, God's really going to be angry with you. And a matter of fact, how can you go to heaven if you're not obeying what God says? And a lot of people simply look at it as a legal requirement of God. And they're very harsh on themselves and they're very harsh on other people around them. You know, Brother George, I heard him talking to a Sunday school class, and it's true. A lot of times when we exercise self-discipline, other people do mistake it for legalism. There's a difference between legalism, you know, using the law to be saved or to maintain your salvation. There's a difference between legalism and self-discipline. Self-discipline says, well, you know, God set up life for there to be periods of rest, and God told me I needed to rest, so I'm going to rest. There's a difference between self-discipline and legalism. But you know, there's also a difference between liberty and license. License is the idea that some people mistakenly use. And I say this sometimes, and we don't always have time to clarify everything in a sermon, so sometimes it's misunderstood. You know, Paul said real clearly, in Christ we are not under the law. And some people are like, woohoo! There's no rules, no standards. I can do anything I want. And they take license to do anything. And they use the grace of God and Jesus Christ as a cover-up for all sorts of evils, saying, I'm freed from the law, nothing matters. That's license. In Jesus, we have liberty. And there's a difference between discipline and legalism. There's a difference between liberty and license. In the sermon today, I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of rules, a whole bunch of thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. And I'm not going to go to great extent to try to define work for you. You know, usually people need someone to define work when they're trying to cover up and justify themselves. Kind of like, you know, when Jesus said, love your neighbor. And so someone trying to justify themselves said, well, who is my neighbor? You know, I don't want to have to love any more people than I absolutely have to. Amen. I don't want to be too generous with this love thing. Just tell me what the minimum requirement it is, and I'll hit that. You know, he's trying to justify himself. And a lot of times when it comes into work and we slip into legalism is when people are trying to justify themselves. Well, tell me the minimum level of rest I have to do, and that's all I'll do. You know, and I'm not going to get into a lot of rules or anything and definitions about work and rest, but you know, for some people, the Sabbath, a day of rest, is just a legal requirement. I have to take time off. I have to go to church because it's a command of God. And I tell you what, those people aren't really resting up. Their spirits aren't really refreshed, and they're not ready for the next level of life because they're missing it. Because they're not in the Lord living His life. They're just trying to check off all the boxes of the law. Some people look at Sabbath, and for us as Christians, it's Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day He rose up out of the grave. And a lot of people look at that and they just say, well, it's a family day. You know what? I'm working all throughout the week. On Saturday, we catch up on the chores around the house. And you know what? Sunday is really the only day that we have time to spend with our family. So it's just a family day. Listen, I've got nothing against family, and I like hanging out with my family too. But the Sabbath and the idea of rest is not just a family time. See, because a lot of people will use that family time, and they'll justify that to kind of leave God behind and out of their time. Does that kind of make sense? And we want to be careful doing that. Some people look at the Sabbath as simply a change of pace. All right, now I have to be careful here, you know. Some of you may want to feel like you have to pick up your feet. You may want to buckle up just a moment. Some people look at the Sabbath simply as a change of pace. In other words, I've been working for the man all week. Amen? Now it's time for a change of pace, and they're simply changing one activity for another activity. And their day off, their day of rest, becomes full of all kinds of activities. And I'm just saying we have to watch ourselves and be careful. I'm not saying any of these in and of themselves are bad or evil. But if we allow these things to become the dominant drive and desire of our lives, and we find God is being edged out because of these, then there's a problem. You know, there's a lot of things to do. Mowing grass, doing the chores around the house, whatever sport is in season at that time, doing things with friends, doing things for and some people are just filling up their time with all sorts of activities, but they think they're taking a day off. Why? Because they're not punching the clock anymore. And they're doing all these other things that they always want to do, and their weekends are just jam-packed with activity. Now you think about it, is that really rest? No. Are you saying, well, preacher, you're saying we can't go play sports on Sunday? That, again, I'm not trying to lay down all kind of laws, and I'm not trying to define what work and activity is, but now understand this. If you're just trading one activity for another activity, you might not be resting. You may not be recharging your batteries. As a matter of fact, some counselors have looked at the hectic pace of American lifestyle and everything so many people and families try to pack into the weekend. It is a change of pace, so it's different. But one thing, because it's so much activity that's different, the brain actually has to work harder. At least Monday through Friday, you can fall into your routine, can't you? I mean, you kind of find yourself doing that, and before you're like, it's Friday, and you're like, where'd the week go? You know, just because you kind of fell into that routine. And I'm not trying to say that bad, but then the weekend comes, and it's just hectic. Because you got to do this, got to do this, and the schedule's off, and you're doing different things, going different places. And some people, they say, take Monday and Tuesday at the job to rest from their weekend of rest. You ever feel that way after a vacation? I am so glad to get home so I can rest from that vacation. Well, you know what? Some of us just fill our lives so full of activities and calling it rest, that we're glad to get back to work. so life can slow down for us. Now, if that's where you find yourself, now, and I'm just really going out on a limb here, if that's where you find yourself, you're probably not resting. Does that kind of make sense? You're probably burning the candle at both ends and in the middle as well. Some people look at it just as a sports day. You know, again, going out playing sports, but you know, some of the manly men just kind of sit back in the recliner and watch SportsCenter and ESPN and whatever sport is on, and that's what Sundays are made for. Amen? Y'all do whatever you want. Don't bother me. ESPN's on. A lot of people look at Sunday as my day. You know what? 5 days a week, I'm working for the boss, right? Or if you own your own business, you're working for your clients. Saturday is a day of working for the house, working for the family, catching up on chores and doing all those other things. And finally, Sunday gets here and you say, it's my day. Don't mess up my day. And you're probably still missing out on the Sabbath and keeping it holy as a time, yes, for rest for yourself, but a time of fellowship with God. Where is God in all of that? If we're spending 5 days a week working for the boss or our clients, we're spending 1 day a week working for the house and the family, and 1 day a week just for us, where does God fall in that week? Does that kind of make sense? We have to think about these things, and we miss out on them. All of these views miss the mark. So what's the Sabbath all about? It's meant to be a benefit for us. We don't have this on the screen, but in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 27, Jesus was going to the synagogue on the Sabbath one time, and they're passing by a grain field. And as they're going along, the disciples are grabbing some of those wheat stalks and pulling off grains of wheat, rubbing them in their hand to get the husk off of them. And then they're eating the grains. Now, they weren't stealing. All that's part of the law in the Old Testament, that they weren't supposed to harvest right there by the road so that people that were in need could go out and work and harvest and have some to eat for themselves. So that's what the grain by the road was there for. And you know, also, and so don't, you know, farmers, don't decide to go 5 yards, 10 yards off the road and start sowing there. No, sow all the way up to the road so that the people that need it have something that they can have. And so that's what the disciples were doing. Of course, the Pharisees saw this, and since it was the Sabbath and you're not supposed to work, they accused Jesus of letting his disciples work on the Sabbath, and that was a sin. And Jesus said something real interesting to them. He reminded them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, someone pointed out there's three important ideas there. The Sabbath was made, it was created, and it's instituted by God. And it's there for a purpose. And if God took his time to create it and institute it, shouldn't we pay attention to it? All right, that's where you just shout out, amen! Woo! We are on fire for God at this church. Preacher, you just preach on. All right, if God took the time to create it and institute it, shouldn't we pay attention to it?
Amen.
Woo! Oh, man, I tell you what, that's exciting stuff there. The Sabbath was made for man, for people. It's for everyone. It's not just for this group or that group. It's not for a certain group of people. It's for everyone. It's the way God created us. And it relates to and applies to each and every one of us. Some of us get the big head and we start thinking, well, I understand, you know, the average person probably needs that. But preacher, you need to understand that all right, buckle up. You are not all that special. Amen. God is special. He created everything. He set everything in place. And he made the Sabbath for all of us. And there's none of us here so special that God's pattern for life doesn't apply to our individual lives. And then the Sabbath was made for man. Listen, a day of rest wasn't meant to be a burden. Sometimes in our hectic life, And this is really a commentary more about our stewardship of life and time than it is a comment about how God set up things to be. Okay? If taking off and resting is that big of a problem, you've got bigger problems than taking time off and resting. Your life is out of control. Your life is out of sync. You're missing out. It was meant for us. It's not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a blessing to us. It's meant to be a benefit to us. And we have to understand it. We have to accept it. And we just have to work with it. And we'll understand all of that. He didn't institute it to be a benefit, but a burden. I'm not going to get real legalistic about it this morning, but I do want us to see some things. I'd ask you, if you would, to look at Mark chapter 6 with me. Stand in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. We read these words: calling the 12 to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And now we're going to skip down to verse 30 because Mark interrupts this story with a different story. All right, so we're going to get down to verse 30 and resume this story. The apostles came back and gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your care for us. Father, not just in ordering our days and having a plan for our life and all the activity that we would do, and not just giving us our directions and marching orders and telling us to keep going out there and get it and don't stop, keep taking new ground. Father, you care for us and you have those plans for us, but thank you that you love us so much that you've created us for rest and you tell us to take time to be calm, to be still, to enjoy and reflect and to recharge. And time out from all the other hustle and bustle of life so that we can also fellowship and commune with you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to understand the importance of your rest and our need for your rest. And as we look to live better and better lives and enjoy the life that you've given to us, help us to rest as you have ordained for us, so that we can truly and completely live the life and enjoy the life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Again, a lot of people fill their weekends with a lot of different things: chores, shopping, mowing, recreation, watching TV, and doing all kind of things. And again, I'd say we need to, at some point, just think if we're merely swapping one activity, you know, work, for a lot of other activities, are we really resting? Do our minds really get the break that they need? Do our bodies really get the break that they need? Does our spirit really get the break that it needs if we're simply swapping activity for activity? But since it's different activity, obviously it's rest. We have to ask ourselves, God integrated the seven-day week into his system for life. And listen, the seven-day week doesn't come from any, and it's natural because God created it, but the seven-day week is not natural. It doesn't fit with the lunar cycle. It doesn't fit with any circulation of stars in our galaxy. It doesn't fit with the Earth's rotation around the sun and a 365-day year. Now, I know there's some scientists out there, and you're saying, well, it's not really 365 days. You know, every seventh year, you have to add a leap day, and then you got to add a second every once in a while. I understand. All right, but still, 365 days. Is 365 divided by 7? Does that come out to an even number? No, it doesn't fit with any of those things. Where did we come up with the 7-day work week? The ancient Romans didn't have a 7-day week. The ancient Greeks didn't have a 7-day week. The ancient Mesopotamians didn't have a 7-day week. The ancient Egyptians didn't have a 7-day week. Even in South America, the Incans and the Mayans, they didn't have 7-day weeks. The Jews were the only people that had the 7-day week, and Christians carried over that discipline and that habit from our Jewish roots and background. But where does the 7-day a week work week come from? It comes from God and His creation, that He worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And Jesus even did this with His disciples. He sent them out to do some work, and they came back and they were all excited about a lot of other things. But and I think this is an assumption. An assumption is that they were also worn out from all their traveling and all their work, and they didn't have a lot of luxuries. If you remember from Jesus saying, don't take this and don't take this and don't take this. Man, they were just getting by. Does that make sense? They're out there grinding it every day. They're traveling, they're working, they're preaching, they're ministering to people, and they're just getting by. They come out, they're all pumped up because of everything that happened and the success. And then it's interesting that Mark records that the people were crowding around so much that they couldn't even eat. They couldn't rest. And so what did Jesus say? And this is part of His teaching to them. Let's leave this place and all these crowds, and let's go someplace quiet. A solitary place. A lonely place. Let's go be alone and rest. Now, we can keep reading the story, and I understand some things happen, but let's not miss the fact that Jesus was teaching His disciples that rest was important and rest was necessary. Jesus did it earlier in Mark when He preached at the synagogue, and all kind of people were coming, and He started healing people, and the crowds came around, and at night everyone went to sleep, and in the morning before the sun came up and before people woke up, Jesus snuck off alone to pray. People started waking up. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And His disciples finally go find Him, and they ask Him, what are you doing here? Everyone's looking for you over there. Don't you understand how much work there is to do? And here you are, all alone, just enjoying your peace and quiet. We need to get back over there and work. And what did Jesus say? Let's leave this place and go to another place. Rest is important sometimes. Some scripture notes, just something to notice out of this passage real quick, just that relate to us. Number one, rest is part of God's design for life. Again, it's just part of God's design for life. Let's go someplace alone. Let's go someplace quiet, and let's just rest. Also notice this. Rest comes after work. You know, if your main life is resting, rest really isn't that restful. Matter of fact, if rest is your main activity in life, your rest is kind of restless, as we would say. You know, it's the law of diminishing returns. The more you do something, the more routine and mundane it becomes. A lot of us start a new job, and boy, we're just so excited, aren't we? I got to get up, got to go. I'm looking for this. It's going to be awesome, best thing in the world. And that's fine, and we're so enthusiastic for a while. But, you know, after you've been doing that routine for a few weeks, after you've been doing that routine for a few months, after you've been doing that routine for a few years, you know what I hear a lot of people start saying? I'm just not getting anything out of my job. I just don't feel fulfilled in what I'm doing. I just feel like life is passing me by. I'm just doing the same old routine every day. And the same thing is true for rest. Listen, if you're not working, and your primary activity is resting, your rest probably isn't that restful. You're probably restless. You're probably unhappy. You're probably getting depressed. You're probably blue and you're probably down. And listen, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but understand this. What really makes rest restful is the work that came beforehand. Jesus sent the disciples out and they went out and they worked and they came back worn out. And Jesus said, let's go someplace quiet, lonely, and restful. And we don't have a record that any of the disciples said, no, I'm not into that. Let's stay and work. It's unwritten, but I think some of the disciples were like, oh, thank you, Jesus. We thought you were going to make us stay here and work with all these people. Thank you. Let's go someplace quiet and rest. I mean, that's not in the scripture, but that's in my mind. and we'll see it in Genesis in just a moment. So rest comes after work. It's a time from working. If you're not working, rest isn't going to be all that much to you. Number three, there's always more work that could be done. You know, people are just saying, well, I just don't have time to rest. There's too much work to do. Well, what was the setting when Jesus said, let's go be alone and quiet and rest? All these people pressing in, wanting and needing ministry. Does that kind of make sense? They left a lot of work on the plate to go and rest. And it was true earlier in Mark when all the people were looking for Jesus and even the disciples. He's out there by himself praying. What are you doing here? Everyone's looking for you there. And Jesus says, let's leave this place. He left a lot of work that could have been done. Listen, there's no end to work. There's always something else to do. So if you're waiting till you get caught up and everything's finished, now you can sit down and rest. You'll never really rest. Because there's always something to do. There's always more work that could be done. We see this principle in this story. We see it throughout scriptures in Genesis chapter 1. We see the story of creation. It says that after the sixth day, it says God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And it was evening and it was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed. And I think that's what's up there. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now you say, okay, well, where's the pattern? Does God really need rest? You know, because rest is a pattern God has put into life. Well, does God really need rest? Now the answer to that is what? No, he's infinite. He never runs. He's got more energy than the Energizer Bunny. Amen? I mean, the Energizer Bunny would just have to tuck his head and bow out if God ever got into that commercial. I mean, God's infinite. Does God actually need rest? Well, it does raise a question. Then why did he rest? And I agree with those who say, well, he was doing it to set a pattern for us, to set an example for us. He expects us to rest. We're created to rest. And so he rested and he set that pattern. That's just my simple explanation on that. But notice that God worked after 6 days of constant work. What? By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. Now, again, I agree with those who say he's setting a pattern for us. Because an infinite God who can create everything out of nothing, how much time does he need to make everything? Not much. You know, not even a nanosecond. You know, but why didn't he take 6 nanoseconds? I don't know. He took 6 days. You know, he could have taken 6 weeks if he wanted to. Amen? I mean, there was no one up there saying, well, this is how you have to do it, God. He just said, no, this is what I'm doing. He could have taken 6 years. Listen, he could have taken 6 million years or 6 billion years if that's what he wanted. But he took 6 days, and it's like he had a plan because he said, here's what I'm going to do. And it's going to take me 6 days the way I have it planned out. And he worked his plan for 6 days. And so by the time he got to the end of the sixth day, he rested because he had done all the work that he had planned to do those 6 days. Now, let me ask you this. Was all of God's work done? No, his work of creating was done. But all of his work wasn't done. I mean, Jesus was still to come in the future. Does that kind of make sense? And die on the cross for our sins. So it's not like God had nothing else to do. But he had a plan for 6 days. He worked that plan and then he rested. But he was, and I want us to get out of that, he worked his plan. We've been talking about that for 4 sermons now, about coming up with a plan and then working the plan. We talked about that last week. Get active. Do it. Man, hit it. For 6 days a week, God has given us to work for ourselves. 6 days a week to work for ourselves. On the seventh, it's a holy day of rest, and everything we do is for Him on that day. But 6 days a week for ourselves. Man, and if you get to the end of that 6th day and you can't take off on the seventh day because you haven't gotten enough work done on the 6th day, you need to exercise a little bit more discipline on those 6 days. And work, but also understand this, there's still going to be work to be done. Again, all of God's work wasn't done. Does that make sense? Lots of things to be done in history between that time and Jesus coming and dying on the cross. That was 2,000 years ago. Lots of work being done between Jesus dying on the cross and whenever he returns and God takes his church home. Amen? There was a lot of work to do, but he had a 6-day plan. He hit it. He worked that 6 days. He completed that plan, and he rested. If you need more information about that, you can go back and listen and review those other 4 sermons, okay? But get you a plan. Work your plan. And at the end of that time, it's time to rest. Some of you say, well, you don't understand. If I'm working all the time, when am I going to do chores around the house? That's part of your 6 days. Of working for yourself. What about time with my family? That's part of your 6 days of working for yourself. You say, well, preacher, you suddenly got real mean. No, we need to understand the 7th day is holy. It's a different day. It's a day for rest. It's not a day for switching activity for an activity. It's a day for ceasing from working for ourselves. He's given us 6 days a week to come up with a plan and fit in with that plan. All these things that we want for ourselves. And now this probably sounds kind of harsh, but I think God expects us to fit it all in 6 days. Again, biblical principle, there's always more work to be done. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. There's always going to be more. Yes, there will always be more work to do. But you need to come up with a six-day plan so you can have a holy, restful 7th day. Because guess what comes after the 7th day? 6 more days of hitting it. Does that kind of make sense? Hit it for the next 6 days. Take a day of rest. Because what comes after that day? 6 days of hitting it, man. Hit it. Get everything in there. You need to get in there. I mean, we'll get better and better if we practice it week after week. We'll figure out what we can and how to fit it in. But anyways, we see it in creation. God had his plan. He hit it for 6 days. He rested on the 7th day. He set it up as a pattern for us in Revelation chapter 14. And I'm not getting into all of Revelation. All right, and I know this isn't dealing with the context of everything that's being talked about here, but one of the things even to notice in Revelation, notice I got the first book of the Bible, and I fit in the last book of the Bible, and there's some books of the Bible in between. We all see this issue about working and resting, and one of the differences between those who are God's people and those who aren't God's people in Revelation, it says those who aren't God's people who worship the beast, they don't follow God, there's no rest for them. Day or night, ever, no rest. God's people, those who lose their lives for the Lord, those who are his people, notice what he says. They're going to rest because their works followed them. They hid it while they were here. Does that kind of make sense? And rest is coming. So isn't that interesting? One of the differences between those who are God's people and those who aren't God's people partially is rest. It's not the only thing, but it's something. So rest is a part of God's design for life. It's part of the cycle of life. What is rest? It's a Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. That's what the word literally means. It means to cease. And you, again, if you're sitting there saying, well, preacher, could you explain to me what ceasing is? Let me just say, just find a quiet place where you can pray. Get out a sheet of paper, and I want you to write down the word work. And I want you to fill in everything that you need to work to do. Does that kind of make sense? You know, one of the things we teach our kids when they play sports, they're out there at practice. We teach them, you know, what you really need to do is get your Gatorade, sit on the bench, and just kick up your feet and watch everyone else work. No, we tell them they need to practice and hit it hard, right? So let me ask you this. By that definition, is getting out there and playing that sport, is that rest or is that work? All right, some of you didn't really want to answer that, did you? But I know you know in your heart. You'd say, well, if you're breaking a sweat and you got to replace those electrolytes in your body, there's a good possibility that's actually work. Does that kind of make sense? I know it's hard on us. Sometimes it hurts our feelings sometimes. But, you know, y'all just write down on that page everything that takes work to do. And then at the end of it, write down another word, another page or something, cease. Just say, from the last page. Does that kind of make sense? Sabbath means to cease, to rest. It's often associated with, and in some contexts, translated as refreshing, rejuvenating. That's what the Sabbath is. It's part of God's design for life, resting. It's associated with stillness, with refreshing and rejuvenating. Ron Mell wrote a book called The Tender Commandments. In it, he tells the story, and now maybe some of you women could verify this. He tells the story that his wife tells him that if you get one pair of shoes and you wear that pair of shoes every day, you'll wear them out in about 6 months. But he says, if you buy two pairs of shoes and you alternate, those shoes will last 2 years. See, I'm reading it, I'm thinking, okay, well, sure, they'll last a year. You got two of them. But she claims they'll last 2 years. And he says, well, why do you say that? And she says, I don't know. They get to rest. And there's something about that leather and that cloth resting that makes them actually live longer, if I could say it that way. And then he also told the story about in one of his churches, he had a bowling alley owner, and he'd go to the bowling alley and talk to the owner sometime. And one time he was there, and they were changing out all of the bowling pins in the alley. He had two complete set of bowling pins for the whole alley. And every so often, I forget how often he said, but every so often they'd take all the bowling pins that they have been using, and they'll just put them on a shelf, and they'll replace them all with different bowling pins. And he asked, why do you do that? And the owner said, they need to rest. Said, man, if those bowling pins are just getting beat up every day, they'll chip and break and crack and they'll just disintegrate and they'll be destroyed fairly quickly. But I found out if I'll give them rest and just leave them up there a couple of weeks and then swap them out again, they'll last decades because there's something about resting that rejuvenates that wood and everything. And I've heard from farmers that actually it's good to let the soil rest from time to time. We got anyone in here that knows anything about any of that? Is that true? Is that just some like farmer's almanac story? Is that real? They say you use the soil, and of course that's why a lot of farmers, they'll swap out. You know, they'll plant corn one season, they'll plant beans the next season or something. But they say from time to time, you still got to give the soil rest. And if you'll just let it rest and sit there fallow for a little bit, it just rejuvenates, and it'll produce many more crops than if you just keep using it over and over. It needs to rest. You know, Ron Mell made this connection for me as I was reading his book. He said in Psalm 103, it says that God doesn't treat us as our sins deserves because he's our Father and he wants the best for us because he knows how we're made, that we're just dust. And you know, soil needs to rest. And all we are is made out of the same elements. If the soil needs to rest, man, if shoes need to rest and bowling pins need to rest, there's a pretty good possibility you and I need to rest as well. Rest comes after work. Again, the law of diminishing returns. If we're resting all the time, our rest doesn't mean much. But if we'll have a plan, if we'll hit it, and we'll work hard, then when it's time to rest, that rest is precious. And it means a lot. Rest, even though there's more work to be done. There's always more work to be done. The challenge is to figure out what you need to do for this week. Does that make sense? Listen, you're going to be here hopefully for weeks, for months, for years, for decades. It's good to have a long-range plan, but you need to have a plan for this week. And again, as we practice, even though there's work to be done, if we will honor God's system and we will take a day for resting, over time we'll figure out how to plan what for 6 days and do it and then rest and enjoy life. Does that mean we'll get to do everything in life that we want to do? No, we won't. But we'll enjoy the life that we do have. Some benefits of observing the Sabbath, and I'm just going to make this real quick to get to what we can do. Number one, the peace of knowing that you're following God. You know, a lot of believers just pick and choose from God's Word what they prefer, and I'm going to do that, and surely God will be happy with me, and I'll be happy too. But they're really not happy. Why? Because they know that they're not really following God. They're following a God they've created in their own image. They're not really living out God's principles for life. They're practicing a religion that they have created for themselves. That's what happens when we pick and choose and just do what we want and turn a blind eye to what we want in God's Word. And when you will rest, it'll help you. It's not the answer for everything, but it is a part of knowing that you've really committed yourself to God, you've dedicated yourself to God, and you're going to follow and be obedient to God regardless. It'll help you become a better steward of the other areas of your life. It'll help you be a better steward of the other 6 days a week. But you'll know that you're God's and God is yours. It'll build trust in God by giving up. And it's not really giving up. It's what God requires of us, what He tells us to do. But from our perspective, we think we're giving up. I'm wasting all that time. You know, my kids all thought going to school was a waste of time. As a parent, I had a different perspective. You know, I mean, all of us look at things and we say, that's just a waste. But if God says that's the way it's supposed to be, then is it really a waste? There's a benefit there. But in me giving up that day of work so that I can rest in the Lord, I'm really expressing trust in God. God, my life is in your hands. God, you're the one who provides everything I need. I'm not the Lord of my own life. I'm not the one that provides everything that I need in life. Yes, I get out there and I partner with God and I hit it, I work it, I do what I can, but ultimately my life belongs to God and God is the one who preserves my life. And this day is an expression of my trust in God. He'll take care of me, even though I'm wasting a whole day of working. Think of all the things I could get. You understand what I mean? It's kind of like we're going to have receive our tithes and offerings in just a moment. It's kind of like giving up some of our money to give to God. You know, one of the things, it's a spiritual discipline, just like resting, is realizing I don't provide everything in my life. God provides for me in life, and by my returning to God a portion of that which He has given to me, I'm expressing my trust in God, that He's my great provider, and He will be able to take what I have left over and even multiply that and bless that, and God will provide for me all that I need, but I'm going to be faithful to return to God His portion. It builds that trust in God. It protects us from ourselves of just working, working, working. Years and years ago in France, in Paris, they decided to do away with the one day a week rest, the Sabbath rest. And so they just started working 7 days a week. And suicide rates skyrocketed. And what they found out is that people wore themselves out working all the time. And so they've gone back to rest. Now, I'm not trying to get into politics. You know, some of us will say, yeah, but they go too far with the rest. I don't know. But I know this. When they just decided to work 7 days a week and not have any rest, it hurt them. God saves us from ourselves if we'll listen to Him and live life His way. So what's the point? The Sabbath is to be holy. It's to be set aside. Holy, it's to be different from the other days of the week. The other days of the week are spent working for ourselves and our families. So one thing about the Sabbath being holy, it's being different, it's set aside for a whole different purpose. The Sabbath isn't about me. It's really about God. Now, God is going to refresh me, but it's really about God. It's not working for myself. It's also about service. Any work I do is done for God in His glory. Does that kind of make sense? It's different. All my other days are filled with activity, activity, activity. The Sabbath is filled with ceasing and resting. The point is, the Sabbath is to be holy. What can you do? Four things real quick. Number one, make it a different kind of day. Just make it a different kind of day. You can sit down and figure out, what's my average day look like? Is my average day full of activity or slothfulness? You know, now I don't know if you're a sloth, and you'd say, well, you know, 6 days a week are filled with sloth. Oh, maybe for you the Sabbath needs to be a day of work. I don't know, just an idea. You know, but it's different. I'm just joking. Work for 6 days. Whatever work you can do, whatever work you're able to do, whatever work you can do, work as best you can. And then the Sabbath needs to be a day of inactivity and ceasing and resting. This is true physically, but now I'm going to really step into a sensitive area here. It's also true mentally. You know, a lot of days a week, a lot of us consume a certain amount of TV and social media and stuff. That's for us. Listen, Sabbath needs to be different. It's holy. It's set aside for a different purpose. Let your mind slow down. Don't just constantly bombard it with media, whether it's TV media, video media, or social media. Give your brain a rest. Does that kind of make sense? Slow down and rest. I've known some church members through the year that, you know, on an average day, they get up and they just hit the ground running. Amen. I mean, they're drinking coffee, they're showering, they got the news on, they're getting ready, they're just go, 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 go. And they say, on Sunday, I'm resting. Man, I get up, I get my coffee, and I watch TV. I've known some believers that have watched two or three different church worship services and sermons before they ever got to church. And it's not that I'm jealous. Listen, I know I'm not Charles Stanley. I know I'm not Adrian Rogers. I know I'm not a lot of those guys, okay? I know that. And it's not that I'm jealous or anything, but man, if your brain has been filled with those different sermons and Bible studies, and you're coming to church and you go to Sunday school, and that's not a statement against Sunday school, you need Sunday school, and then you come here for a sermon, man, your brain is just going, going, going. How much did you really get all out of all of that you can remember and put into practice the next week? And I know some people that are like, man, I am worn out by the end of church on Sunday. You know what? If you're worn out by the end of church on Sunday, you probably haven't been resting. Make it a different day. Slow that pace down in physical activity, in mental activity, and everything else. Slow down. It's okay. It's okay. All those other sermons are recorded. You can listen to them the other 6 days a week. I mean, they're still there. But slow down. Take a nap. Not just a coffee break, not just a bathroom break. Take a nap. It's okay. It's a Sabbath. Does that kind of make sense? Take a nap. Sit down and enjoy a relaxed dinner with your family. How often does that happen? Because it's activity, activity, activity. Make it a different kind of day. Two, make it a day of worshiping and serving God. The other 6 days are all about us and our needs and our families and everything we need and getting out there and getting it, finding it, dragging it home and making something out of it. Man, make that seventh day about you and God. It's not just your family. I'm not saying neglect your family, but it's not just about you and your family. It's about you and God. You've got the other 6 days a week about you and your family. Some of us are guilty of the sin of working so much we're neglecting our family throughout the week, and then we try to cram it all in on Sunday, and we feel worn out by the time we get back to work on Monday. Something's wrong. What if we take a little more time, 6 days a week with family time? So we didn't have to cram it all into Sunday. Does that kind of make sense? Just make it a different day. It's holy. It's different. Make it a different kind of day. Make it a day of worship. And it doesn't mean you can't do any activity. 6 days a week, you're working for yourself. 1 day a week, whatever work you do, do it for God and His kingdom. Serve other people. Work for other people. Help other people. Work for God. Do it for Him. Number three, reflect on the past week and think ahead to the next one. It's good to take a little bit of time and just say, how did I do? How did I do? And see that and then get ready for the next week. Because another 6 day cycle is coming, man, that you got to hit it. So go ahead and take a little bit of time to prepare for that and then make it a day of thanksgiving. You know, as you're reflecting, it's not all about what you did wrong and what you didn't get done. And then what you got to do for the next time. A lot of that time should be taken up with, look how good God is. Man, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. This has happened. This is going for me. And man, see the good things and be thankful. You'll feel a lot better about yourself. You'll feel a lot better about life. You'll feel a lot better about the next 6 day cycle that's coming up. Take time to rest. Are you ready to rest? Listen, it all starts with Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 4, we're told that for the believer, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Man, we know God created us for Him and to live with Him, and we all know that we've all messed up in our lives, and so many people are desperately trying to make up for their shortcomings and where they went wrong. So God will forgive them and like them and accept them. Listen, you can never make up for all the mistakes that you make in life. I can never make up with God for all the mistakes I make in life. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And all of my sins are forgiven. He died once for all sins. And so understand, rest begins by getting your life in line with Jesus Christ. Believing in Him. Making a commitment to follow Him. Because He forgives you and He restores your relationship with God. And then God will help you set your life in order. And you'll also find great rest and refreshment. What David said, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He gives me rest. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. And we pray that You would help us in our lives to find rest, Your rest, Father, to be refreshed. To be refreshed in You and our relationship with You. To be refreshed for our families and for our work. Father, we do want better lives than we've had in the past. And we know that that begins with You. And so, Father, as we prepare to leave this place, Father, bring us to this point where we can make that commitment to You. Father, if there's anyone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that You would touch them. And today would be the day that they would yield to You and make that commitment to You, to know You and follow You. Father, for those who accepted Jesus years ago, but their life has gotten out of focus and they're off Your path for life, Father, this morning I pray that You would help them to see You and refocus on You and recommit to following You all the days of their life so that, Father, we can live, we can do all the things You created us to do, and we can enjoy the life that You've given to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.